I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Hey, thanks for being with us, everybody. Coming up in 20 minutes from now, Todd Ramasar is going to join us. He's an NBA agent. He represents Pascal Siakam, amongst others. I'm going to ask Todd about what's realistic in terms of players coming back for the NBA playoffs. What do they want? How do they feel? Do they want to finish the season? Do they feel safe finishing the season? What are some of the complications of finishing the season? Todd Ramasar, NBA agent, joining us coming up here in about 20 minutes. And in 40 minutes, this date in mothership history. But we begin this hour with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers redesigning their uniforms. If you missed this yesterday, it was a highly anticipated event because we all can agree that the Buccaneers' current uniforms the last 5 years since the 2014 redesign were egregiously, ungodly gross. Let me take you back to 2014, boys and girls. Nike, come up on my lap here. Let me tell you a story, boys and girls. Nike had just inherited the NFL contract, and they wanted to redesign the league to make it look like any given Sunday. This boardroom full of twits said, oh, we want to put our personal stamp on the NFL. We want to make it look cool. Whiz bang. Fashion forward. We want to sell jerseys, make it youthful and crazy and funky. And it fell off a cliff. They redesigned a number of uniforms, the Buccaneers being one of them, the Browns being one of them, and by and large, every one of their redesigns looked ridiculous. The Browns are immediately changing theirs. The Jaguars already changed theirs, and now the Buccaneers changed theirs. Think about that hit list for Nike executives and designers in some type of dopey boardroom in Oregon going, man, you know what we should do? We should totally reimagine the NFL uniform. Well, you know what? The NFL's been going on for 100 years. We're doing quite well, thank you. We don't need you to reimagine everything. The Browns. The orange is not really orange anymore. It's like a deep red orange. They're putting the name of the Browns down the pants. Well, that doesn't look cheesy at all. They've got drop shadow numbers. I mean, the whole thing looks stupid, ridiculous. So the Browns are changing them immediately. You basically have a 5-year window where you have to keep your jerseys. As soon as that 5-year window was up, the Browns were like, we're gonna go back. The Jacksonville Jaguars, two-toned helmets, two-toned, fading from gold to black. even though the Nike executives in their marketing speak said, well, the Jaguars coming out of the darkness into the light. No, you got it backwards. It's going out of the light into the darkness if it's gold to black. They had all that funky lettering and slashing and piping on their jerseys. Was it turquoise? Was it gold? Was it black? It was awful. As soon as the 5 years were up, the Jaguars were like, we're going to go back. And now the Buccaneers. After the redesign, the Buccaneers had alarm clock numbers, which Nike executives said was in the spirit of swashbuckling pirates. Really? No, I don't know. Saw a lot of the Pirates of the Caribbean. Didn't see an alarm clock in there. Didn't see a snooze button in any of the Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't know. Might just be me. Maybe I missed it. It was gross. It was totally gross. The uniforms were gross. And so yesterday, the Buccaneers redesigned. And it's better. It's fine. It is uninspired. It is inoffensive. It's fine. Essentially, by about 95%, the Buccaneers' new uniforms are their old uniforms. If you just took the home red with the pewter pants and the road white jersey, white pants, it's almost identical to their Super Bowl jerseys from 02. The Mike Allstott, Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp, John Lynch, Rondé Barber jerseys in years. The year they won the Super Bowl, 2002, those John Gruden years, those Tony Dungy years, that's exactly what this looks like. The only real difference is they have the enlarged logo of the skull and crossbones flag on their helmet still, kind of like it was in this redesign, which was kind of the only part of the redesign I didn't mind. I didn't mind the oversized logo because the logo, let's face it, it's a pretty cool logo. It might not be the Raiders logo, but in terms of a pirate, it's fine. Pirate flag, I like it. Okay. But it's uninspired because all it is going back to the previous version of the uniform. But it's a better version. Let's face it. It is a better version of the Bucs uniforms than the current ones. So a little throwback to the Super Bowl years also doesn't hurt that they were good in that era is what the Buccaneers are going back for. Which, let's just face it right here, we have avoided a national crisis with Tom Brady not having to wear the alarm clock jerseys. That would have been really gross. At least he gets these jerseys, which are simplified and better. And the ones from, let's say, 02 to 2013 or so. To me, it's a little disappointing because what's the redesign then? To me, you could have even cleaned it up more, made it more simplified. See, I think the Jaguars did it right. They took a really noisy, crazy uniform and then simplified it. It's basically two colors. It's a turquoise jersey with white numbers, or it's a white jersey with black numbers. I like that simplicity. I look at the Raiders, black and silver. Black jerseys, silver numerals. Gorgeous. I look at the Niners, red jerseys, white numbers. No trim, no nothing. Gorgeous. I love those. The Giants, blue jerseys, white numbers. I think that that just pops on screen. I think it looks great if you want to buy the jersey. If you own that jersey and you hang it up. To me, when guys are wearing just one beautiful color with just a singular color, number, and letters, I think it just looks beautiful and classic. The Colts, blue and white numbers. It looks absolutely gorgeous. So I wish the Buccaneers did that. Go to the Reds and then just have white numbers, or the whites with just red numbers. I think you could have cleaned it up even more. And actually, in terms of these three versions that they have, there is a Color Rush uniform, which I actually kind of like. The pewter on the pewter, I kind of like because it's a little distinct. It's a little different than just going right back to the 2002 uniforms, which kind of look like 2002, which we're now 20 years removed. And if you're not going back to jerseys like 40 years ago, it's a little weird to go back to jerseys like 20 years ago as your primary jerseys. But fine, it's better. Okay, it's better. Here's one thing that they could have nailed is going back to the quote-unquote creamsicle uniforms. And if you don't like the creamsicle uniforms, here's what you are. You are an uncreative and unfun type of person. Here's why. Yeah, there's an element of nostalgia here for those creamsicle uniforms, okay? The white and the orange. There is certainly nostalgia. If you were to ask me the greatest era of NFL uniforms, I would say, you know what? You can go back to 1968. Just take those uniforms. They're great. They're beautiful. They're traditional. Or go back to 1988. And those uniforms are almost all to a team better than the current ones. I would say the Bills is kind of my only current redesign that I like better than where it was 30 years ago. But yes, there's an element of nostalgia here. But what you have with the Buccaneers orange uniforms is it's so distinctive. Nobody else wears the orange. And don't sell me that that is somehow not tough enough. The Tennessee Volunteers have made a brand for decades, generations on an orange, a bright orange. And nobody says it doesn't look tough enough. It's just that Tennessee football is not very good. When Tennessee was good in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, that orange with a white helmet is gorgeous. It is gorgeous. I've been to Neyland Stadium, Rocky Top. It pops. It's beautiful. It's bright. It is distinctive. And the Buccaneers had that. The Buccaneers had that. If you go back and you look at the numbers and the jerseys and how distinctive they were in 79 and 80, right through the mid-80s, that's a beautiful jersey. The Doug Williams jerseys are a beautiful jersey. Even the Stevie Young era Buccaneers jerseys, which are largely the same with maybe a few little alterations, they're beautiful, they're distinctive, and they're fun and whimsical. You see, in 1976, when the Buccaneers install these uniforms, it is not to be super serious. It's the mid-70s. It is to be flamboyant. It is to be eye-catching. It is to be fun. They're going, we're orange because of the Florida citrus. We are red because it's a bold color, and we want to look like Florida. We want to look local here. I think that was great, and it worked because they weren't taking themselves too seriously. If you look at those creamsicles and go, oh, they're so ugly, they're so gross, all you're doing is being trapped with an unimaginative idea about jerseys. You're going, no, I don't want creativity. I don't want distinctive. I just want to do what everybody else does, look tough. Or look a certain way. No. The Buccaneers' identity can be awesome. It can be, but it's not because the current ones, which are now the Super Bowl ones, you know, they're fine, but everybody wears red. Everybody wears black. There's already a pirate team. They're the Raiders, and they got a better uniform than you. So be distinctive. Be unique. Be your own. Nobody else ever looked like the Buccaneers or the Creamsicles. Nobody. Nobody. And they looked like Florida. They looked like Tampa. They looked like Florida sunshine. Trying to make them tough? The pirate ship on your logo? And pewter? I mean, what is pewter? To me, was always a miss. And you can update the Bucco Bruces. You can update the Creamsicles. You can make them not look 70s or 80s-ish. But that color combination and that logo was so distinctive. You could have made it the brand. And going now back to a time where jerseys weren't so serious is now a thing. You know, powder blues are coming back from the 80s. In all of baseball, powder blues. That's a less serious take on uniforms. That works. You might say, well, how about alarm clock uniforms? Alarm clock numbers are not serious, but they're stupid. They're ugly and stupid because nothing connects to football like alarm clock digital numbers. You can make the creamsicles work and modernize them. And the Buccaneers, once again, did not do so. If you don't like the creamsicles, you lack a whimsy and a creativity and a uniqueness about your jerseys. And now, a message from the pig. Mraz himself.
I've never been more stunned to a news on what we just listened to for the last 13 minutes. And I mean this in the kindest way possible with you being a dear friend of mine a colleague, somebody who's taught me the way. We have, in the 7 years of CBS Sports Radio, never heard a 13-minute more hypocritical ramble than what you just uttered on the air about these creamsicle uniforms.
Nope.
I mean, D.A., you're talking about lacking creativity. Mm-hmm. Well, everything that Nike tried to do the last 5 years was creative. It wasn't good, but it was creative. And neither are the creamsicle uniforms. You just went on a whole deal about how you like the Giants uniforms, the Colts uniforms. Keep it simple with the numbers. Well, the creamsicles have red outline on white numbers on orange. There's no color combination proper way to put that. The uniforms are atrocious.
Like I said, you can simplify that. You can just make them white jerseys with orange numbers or orange jerseys with white numbers.
But here's the bit. I understand why you like the uniforms, because they come from your heyday of growing up nostalgia football, and that's fine. That's the same reason I like the way the Bucks went to these uniforms, because those early 2000s, like, those are where I envisioned the Bucks looking like. It's okay to be nostalgic and want the uniforms to look like when maybe you had your first love of football. I understand that, but embrace that. Don't sell me that the creamsicle uniforms are everything that's Florida, and that's why they should go back to
Don't
them.
They feel more like Florida? I mean, you
no,
got family down there. They feel more like Florida than pewter.
Guess what? The Miami Marlins uniforms right now feel more like Florida than the teal Marlins did, and they're still atrocious and a disgrace compared to what the uniforms
Why?
Used to look like.
Teal is the color of water. Teal is the color
yes.
of the ocean. That's definitely Florida.
But the ones now with the Miami Vice and everything, that's supposed to represent Miami. It's stupid. It doesn't look as good as the Florida Marlins uniforms. The Bucks creamsicle uniforms are nothing more than nostalgia. There is a reason they were switched from and didn't go back to, and now didn't go back to again. They are atrocious.
They're aesthetically more pleasing.
No, they are not. Then the ones that the Bucks introduced last night?
Yes.
The ones the Bucks introduced last night instantly become their best uniform ever. Ever.
Well, they're just the ones from 02 when they
right.
won the Super Bowl.
And they were, and they added the enhanced big helmet. They have finally perfected the idea that the Bucks perfected their uniforms yesterday, and you still have a take that they should go back to the creamsicles from when you first loved football. To me, I find it be crazy.
Uniforms are well before I got into football. I mean, this was an expansion team from 76. They had these jerseys 3 years before I was born.
All right. Well, I guess I'm thinking you're a lot older now. You know, what are you, in your 50s, 60s? Who said this? The bottom line is this. They're ugly uniforms. They're ugly, and you want to hold on to something that's precious and nice. They're no different than the Steelers with the bumblebees or Aaron Rodgers and the Packers coming out in those blue.
Also,
you just said for Color Rush you had no problem. You said it's fine. They're pewter on pewter.
Yeah,
and
I think that was actually a nice version.
8 minutes later, you're telling me what's pewter. I mean, let's make up our mind here. Do you like the pewter? Do you not like the pewter?
Well, pewter is not representative of Florida. It's not representative of a Buccaneer. It is not representative of anything. It's just a thing. Now, if you had to make those jerseys and you had to make good with them, didn't you think that the pewter on the pewter actually worked with the helmet?
I agree with you. I think it's a very nice Color Rush
But
uniform.
It's not iconic. It's not representative of anything.
But you keep talking about iconic, and everybody does. I mean, Florida State has made a living out of their, you know, dark red, burgundy.
Well, how about that? Let Florida State be the colors that you're being right now. Why can't you have your own colors?
I mean, and even the Florida Gators use orange as a secondary color. That's not their primary jersey. I mean, where
What's
is this?
Primary, it's the color of their helmet. It's been the color of their helmet for 100 years.
But not the color of the jersey. I wouldn't mind if this orange was the color of the helmet. The color of the jersey is what sticks out the most. It's like what your car is painted in.
Well, the Colts helmet is white, but nobody says the Colts' primary color is not white. I mean, the color of the helmet is significant. And to me, having a white helmet and then a colored jersey looks great. Like, I'm talking about the Colts here. That's what the Buccaneers have with the creamsicles. When I tweeted out that picture of Doug Williams in 79 or James Wilder in 85, you're telling me those didn't look good?
No, they didn't. The Bucs creamsicle uniforms are widely regarded as the ugliest uniforms in NFL history. You don't go back to ugly. You don't suddenly, as a man, have a girlfriend. And look, let's face it, she doesn't look good. She's ugly. Your friends know she doesn't look good. And maybe she's not a good person on the inside either, because I don't want to judge just based on looks. You end up falling in love with a 10, but maybe she's just as big a jerk as the ugly one. You don't say, well, they're both jerks, I'm going to go back to the ugly one. That makes no sense. You would never do that.
Well, I think objectively, they're not ugly. I think objectively, they're gorgeous.
Objectively, everybody thinks they're ugly except you.
Merez, did you see? I tweeted this out yesterday.
I saw
it. And it got hundreds of retweets and hundreds of likes. And people are all about how much they love them. The only people that didn't like them are you and BT. No.
That's not somewhere I want to be. That's not the camp I want to be in. DA, everybody likes them because of nostalgia. You know what would happen in 2 years when we've seen the Bucks wear those uniforms for 16 years? We go, the Bucks got to change back.
Do you realize
these uniforms are atrocious?
Do you realize that Buccaneers fans still show up with the orange? They still wear that gear.
Yes, to a game every once in a while because it's
You think
nostalgic.
That they don't like it? You think they're wearing that and they don't like that
show
uniform?
Show me the Bucks fans showing up to Outback Steakhouse in that jersey. They're not wearing that for fashion sense. They're wearing it because it's trendy, nostalgic, and cool. Steelers fans show up to games in Bumblebee uniforms, too. You could get away with wearing an ugly jersey to a game for a conversation piece. You can't get away with it being your basis of your team every single week, and that's what you're calling for.
Objectively. I have no problem.
If they would have made it their alternate, I would have had no issue with it. Wear it once a year. It's fine.
Okay.
Get lost.
Okay, fine. So you admit that it's at least good enough for an alternate.
It's good enough for a conversation. Alternates should be conversation pieces. It should be a piece. The creamsicles are still a piece of their history. So I have no issue with you honoring history, honoring throwbacks. It should probably be worn. But we also understand that evolution happens, and that is an ugly freaking uniform that can't be their standard every week.
How about Bucko Bruce on their helmet, but with their current scheme, their current color scheme?
I would have been okay with that. I would have been okay with a logo change, a big Bucko Bruce. That would have been fine, but I think it would have looked a little weird in the red and pewter, as you put it. But I would have been okay with that. I have more of an issue with the orange with the red outline of the white numbers. Those are the ugliest uniforms in NFL history, and we need to just separate nostalgia from reality.
Orange jerseys, white numbers for them. Gorgeous. White pants, white helmet, absolutely gorgeous. You can weigh in on this via Twitter, DA on CBS. The Buccaneers redesigned their uniforms yesterday. I think that the creamsicles are historically beautiful. When we come back, Todd Ramisar joins us, NBA agent. We'll ask him what his clients think about returning to the court this year. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
On CBS Sports Radio.
One of my eyes smaller than the other, by the way.
Yeah, people used to call me Forrest Whitaker because of that when I was younger.
You were called the White Forrest Whitaker?
The White Forrest Whitaker, no. Yes.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the DA Show here on CBS Sports Radio. So glad you're with us. Hundreds of affiliates to listen to nationwide and north of the border. Also Sirius XM Channel 206. And check us out using the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music to stream us. And tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Our next guest is an NBA agent. He helped negotiate Pascal Siakam's $130 million max contract extension with the Raptors. He's not only an NBA agent, but also a former student athlete as well with UCLA and the basketball team there. He's also certified by the NCAA, so he's got a lot of different things we can ask him about here on the show. NBA agent Todd Ramisar is our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. Todd, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning?
Terrific, man. Appreciate you joining us. And everybody's wondering if the NBA season will ever get underway, if they finally could get the playoffs going in a couple of weeks or a couple of months, let's say. How would player contracts work if they can't get the season restarted for this year?
Well, we're still gathering information from the union and the NBA because they're still talking, because obviously with this virus, everything is still fluid in terms of whether the season will resume or whether it'll end. But how the contracts will work exactly, if the season ends, we might just see a reduction in the players' salaries for the season. There was approximately 25% of the regular season remaining. And if the season is lost and the playoffs are lost, we might just see a reduction there, or we could see something a lot more significant than that.
Out of your clients or other players that you've talked to, other agents that have talked to players, how willing are the players to come back and play in the wake of this? How safe would they feel? And, you know, how willing would they be to get back on a court?
I think they would be willing to get back, because a lot of the players, including obviously my clients, speaking with them, you know, right now they're at home and they're accustomed to, you know, being in the regular season and having that wrap up heading into the playoffs. So all of them, I would say for the most part, are motivated to get back to the court. I think what it's contingent on is just having the appropriate measures in place as a league to make sure that their health and safety is a priority when they do come back.
Todd Ramisar joins us here on the show, NBA agent, as we look ahead to how the NBA could potentially handle this situation trying to come back. Are the players, would they be okay being removed from their families for a couple of months? Because we've had some of these potential solutions floated out there, and they kind of all include players just with their own teams, isolated in a hotel for a couple of months on end. Would your clients be okay being away from their families?
That's a difficult question. I think it's all based on the individual. I think for any of us, it'll be hard staying away from our families for an extended period of time. But I know the NBA and again, the union are discussing it and factoring that in. But I think it all depends on how long a period of time we're talking about that will dictate whether the players would be able to do that or not.
What type of safety precautions would you as an agent looking out for your clients need to see to give them the green light and say, you know what? Okay, I'm comfortable. You're comfortable. I think this is a good idea.
What I would like to see is there be a kind of a ramp up heading into the season in terms of medicals for the players. And when I say medicals, just medical checkups once a week for all the players and team personnel. Because right now, in most cases, the players are in their team cities and they're self-quarantining like the rest of us. So if there's the weekly checkups where, you know, their temperatures are taken, there's daily checkups for anyone being symptomatic of the virus. If we have that monitored closely going into practices, and then of course that monitored in practices, and then heading into what I can imagine would be an abbreviated regular season and playoffs, the key is just them staying on top of it as well as team personnel. Because what I imagine is if they go into one city or have everyone in one hotel or whatever the case may be, all it would take is just one player to test positive, and whether they're asymptomatic or symptomatic, and then possibly, you know, infect other players, and then that would jeopardize the season once they did resume. So for me, I think the only solution would be not just isolation, but just constant monitoring of all the players and team personnel so that, you know, not one person infects others.
NBA agent Todd Ramisar joining us this morning here on the DA Show. Take our listeners behind the scenes and how the line of communication happens. These conversations, I'm sure, are happening with Adam Silver and league executives and perhaps union reps. Where does the news get to you and then your clients? How involved are the players in the conversations about how to get the league going again?
So obviously at a high level, the conversations are happening with NBA executives as well as union executives. And then the information is disseminated from there, to the agents as well as the players. But with all this, all these conversations being fluid right now because of, information changing, you know, most of these decisions being made are contingent on, you know, what's happening in our country and in certain regions in terms of, I would want to say the virus being at its peak or starting to flatten out. And, you know, if they're projecting out several weeks or looking at the end of May or June to resume, they have to stay on top of, where they're seeing, everything as it relates to talking to medical officials and seeing if it's safe for their players to get back out there on the floor. So right now, I would say it's at the highest level right now. Those conversations are frequent. And then once they make progress, they disseminate that information. But trust me, there's been a lot of ideas tossed around, and there's a lot of smart people working on it. It's just a matter of coming up with a solution everyone is comfortable with.
Can you tell us what the craziest idea that's been floated is? One that you said, what are we even talking about here?
You know, I don't, there's different things that have been floated, I would say, in conversations, but I don't know if that's hearsay or that's up there. But, you know, there's talk about having it in one city, which isn't so crazy. What was crazy was, well, I don't even want to say crazy, that was different, was having it in the Bahamas, is what I had heard. So
not a bad
that
option.
May be, yeah, not a bad option at all. But it's all a matter of logistics too, right? Yeah. When you get that many players and team personnel, NBA executives in one city, that's where it could be challenging in terms of logistics. And then, of course, as we're talking about, just managing everyone so that their health and safety is a priority.
NBA agent Todd Ramasar is our guest here on the DA Show. You're also certified by the NCAA. What are the extra hurdles, the extra difficulties in trying to get college sports restarted, considering they don't have unions, they don't have player reps the same way that the pros do?
Yeah, well, you know, it's different than obviously the challenge that we're seeing in the NBA with this crisis. The NBA could postpone the season and push it back, whereas and obviously there's the option to cancel the season altogether and then resume later. And there's a lot of flexibility in terms of whether the NBA season will resume as normal in October or as discussed, push it back 2 months in December. And that idea was being floated around even before this crisis began. As it relates to the NCAA, how I see it is, you know, obviously the season is canceled because the seasons have to mirror, in some ways, the academic year. Obviously, you have your fall sports, winter sports, spring sports. I don't think it's as easy. And obviously, the NCAA would be, and their member schools would best answer this question, but I don't think it's as easy as, say, professional leagues to just readjust the season because of the academic year. So that's the difference I would see in the challenge. In terms of it resuming, you know, it's going to be up to the individual universities as well, because as I can imagine, if one of the schools or several schools are in a region that's, say, peaking or soon to peak, and we're back to the academic, and we're in the academic year, I find it very hard for those teams to kind of reassemble and practice to get back to the court or to the field or whatever the case may be. So that's part of the challenge as well.
NBA agent Todd Ramasar joining us here on CBS Sports Radio. Before I let you go, you helped negotiate Pascal Siakam's four-year, $130 million max contract extension with the Raptors. Before the season got subverted by the crisis, he was having a tremendous year. The Raptors were having a tremendous year. People might have thought, well, Siakam, one-year wonder last year as the Raptors won the NBA championship, but he has become even more dominant. What have you seen from your client from the championship year to this season and the type of growth that you've seen in him?
You know, that growth isn't surprising, in all honesty. I think young players get better with the experiences that they have. And obviously for him to have that experience in the playoffs and to win a championship and with that championship play an integral role, in my anticipation of the season, I expected him to be that much better. And at the same token, I expected this year to be another growth year for him, because as he was transitioning, I guess you could say, into stardom, with Kawhi leaving now, there was going to be a lot bigger role for him to step into. And with that, there's going to be it's not going to be a perfect path. And this season was going to be that season that he's tested. But even with his success this year, I anticipate that he's going to have another leap in his growth come next season. Because now that he's in the role of being, you know, the focal point of that offense and that team, he'll have a year behind him where he gets accustomed or adjusted to that role. So by next year, he's going to be that much better.
Todd Ramasar joining us this morning here on the show, NBA agent, dropping on by. Todd, really informative stuff, man. I appreciate the perspective on anything, on everything. Thanks so much for doing it, and stay safe.
Yeah, same to you. Thank you for having me on.
Tomorrow, starting at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, the Inside College Football crew gets you ready for the upcoming NFL draft as they break down the blue chippers and speculate on the game's next superstars, only on the CBS Sports Network. CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah! Good stuff from Todd Ramasar joining us here on the show. And if there's a way for the NBA to get this season in, to end this season, I think that all sides are going to say yes to it. Because I think that these athletes going through three quarters of a season would want some culmination of it, especially the playoff teams would want to play. And I think that the executives obviously would want to get some games played and a championship crowned, champion crowned. And I would also say that the NBA has already thought about and kind of bandied about the idea of pushing their season later on in the summer so that it's not competing early in their season against football, and that it would have the sports landscape to itself over the entire summer. So the NBA might be looking at this as an opportunity to actually see how a delayed schedule would work. Andrew Bogish is standing by. He has our headlines this morning. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning again. So Mike Gundy, not the only football coach to do something dumb recently. Last week, new Mississippi State boss Mike Leach tweeted a quarantine joke that included a wife knitting a noose for her apparently annoying husband. The tweet was quickly deleted, but it cost the Bulldogs D-lineman Fabian Lovett, who's transferring, and now AD John Cohen is fake punishing Leach. The school will provide him opportunities to, quote, expand his cultural awareness of Mississippi. That'll include listening sessions with students, faculty, and community groups, as well as trips to local museums. As for Gundy, OK State issued a statement yesterday to say they'll listen to scientists, local government, and the Big 12 when it comes to resuming football operations. AD Mike Holder adding Gundy's May 1st plan, quote, a little ambitious.
Understatement of the year.
We'll stick with ambitious.
Yeah. Ambitious. That's a nice way of putting it.
College poops, Maryland forward Jalen Smith, Arizona point guard Nico Mannion among the latest leaving for the NBA draft. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar beginning a series of donations to the UCLA health system in the perfect way yesterday. Kareem is donating 900 goggles to healthcare workers. Other protective personal equipment is on the way. Monday, it was NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. Yesterday, NHL counterpart Gary Bettman. He admitted on NBC Sports Network that completing their regular season may be too difficult.
We understand that that may not be possible, and that's why we're considering every conceivable alternative to deal with whatever the eventuality is. But again, it doesn't even pay to speculate, because nobody in any of the sports knows enough now to make those profound decisions.
The NHL just went at the jump right to some kind of postseason, but that would require some creativity in figuring out who would make those playoffs and how the teams that don't make it would line up then for the draft lottery. Most NHL teams have around 11 or 12 games left right now. In the Eastern Conference, for example, there are five teams within 3 points of a wild card spot. Meanwhile, a third Colorado Avalanche player has tested positive for coronavirus, but he has been in isolation, so no direct contact with teammates or staff members. Arizona State wideout Brandon Ayuk, a possible first rounder in the NFL draft, had core muscle surgery yesterday. The issue might explain his 4.540 at the combine. Ayuk had the surgery now since there's no off-season programs to miss. And CNBC says the NBA Players Association informed agents yesterday that all players will be hit by salary reductions with the season paused. The union and league negotiating an agreement for those reductions, so the exact amount of the give back is unclear right now. The next paycheck, though, is next week. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. Yeah, I'm really interested about that dynamic. Owners want games played, but players want their health. And I wonder how many players opt for health, safety, not risking it versus losing a paycheck, a lot of paychecks. Because without games being played, these players are making a lot less money. And without any games being played, they make no money, or at least a fraction of it. And how many of them are willing to say, okay, you know, I'm willing to take that risk, as long as I'm making that paycheck. I'm used to that paycheck coming in. When we come back here on the show, this date in Mothership history takes us back 7 years to year number one here on the DA Show. On a call, they gave us the iconic DA Show drop. I'm out. Bye. It's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
They're listening, DA. They're listening to every word we say.
I love your show. I try never to miss it. I'm kind of getting a little angry at DA. I think you pick on Raz too much. I think you harass him too much.
It's the Mothership on CBS Sports Radio.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, that's hard work. Get a quote. Geico.com. That's easy. Listen to full episodes of the show. Anything that you may have missed or want to hear again, full episodes available. The best of the show, daily also available, and the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show within the show, all available on demand for you to listen whenever you want. Go to any podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Radio.com, Stitcher, Spotify, to listen to our podcasts. One of our favorite segments here on the DA Show is This Date in Mothership History. And today, we go back to year number one of the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio, our overnight days. On this date, 7 years ago, 2013, when we got a drop that has lasted the test of time.
Come on! Come on! Step inside! It's This Date in Mothership History.
On this date 7 years ago, Calvin in Clearwater, Florida gave us a drop for the ages. I'm out. Bye. Calvin's next up, Clearwater, Florida, 98.7.
Put the basketball games in basketball arenas. But what's wrong with 20,000 people?
I'll tell you what's wrong.
Final Four was in Annapolis. The Final Four game should have been
Calvin,
at Hinkle Arena.
Shut up for a second. You're an idiot. Listen.
No, you're an idiot.
Basketball arenas are 20,000 seats, okay? So you have 3.5 times that want to get in the building.
When you got media people,
Calvin,
who are paid to cover the game,
yeah,
can't see the game. It's ridiculous.
Calvin, you weren't at the game. How would you know? Calvin!
At Dairyland,
shut up for a second. Every time you open your mouth, you sound like a bigger moron.
No, you're a bigger moron. Epic Fail is putting basketball games at football arenas. You're the nominee for the epic fail of the day.
You realize,
and it's ridiculous. It's not a great venue. It's a terrible venue.
Calvin.
Stop sticking up for Mark Emmert. What are you, his brother?
What are you, on some type of sex phone line? Why are you breathing so hard here?
I'm fine. Why are you breathing so hard? You sound like a dog. Talking about dog, maybe the game should be where Georgia Bulldogs play.
Now we've really reached some type of crescendo in this
discussion. Put the game where Georgia State plays. Put the game where Mercer plays.
Yeah, why don't we play the game where Mercer plays? So there's 7,000 people at the Final Four?
Yeah, at least they can see it. And then, and better yet, why don't we have the best basketball person doing the game on television instead of a golf guy? Let's have Lundquist and Raffery do the game on TV instead of making Raffery do radio where no one listens to radio anymore.
Calvin.
The whole basketball thing
is ridiculous. Calvin.
You're ridiculous. I'm out. Bye.
Calvin. That escalated so quickly, Mraz.
Oh.
Calvin and Clearwater escalate so quickly. Like, the first clip is me saying, you sound like a moron.
There was no easing into that whatsoever.
I think the call was much longer. It's like a 7-minute call probably. But you first hear me by saying, you sound like an idiot and a moron. Shut up.
Right. We had no lead in the state mothership history. But I do remember, I think we weren't even talking about what he wanted to talk about, and he got all upset that we were playing the Final Four in football stadiums. But you being Mark Emmert's brother, boy, that's a real line he tried to draw there.
What do you want, a sex line? That thing got real angry, real antagonistic, real quickly.
I'm out. Bye.
I'm out. Bye.
Anything goes overnight radio. You ask a caller if he was on a sex line. That was and he wanted the Final Four played in Mercer's arena. Oh! And how about his bad dog joke, too?
And how about him saying nobody listens to radio? He was listening to the radio at that point in time. By the way, a lot of support for the Buccaneers creamsicle uniforms. Frank tweeting, you were absolutely spot on with the rant, DA. Totally agree. The creamsicle uniforms evoke emotion, withdraws fans in, new and old, and solidifies the bond with a team. Yep, that's right. Uncle Paulie tweets, I love the creamsicles. F. Mraz.
Oh, nice.
When we come back, Mothership at the Movies. It's Rookie of the Year. We break down the 1993 film next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.